Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A man, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game.
Eight mate, no rain from the track. Hey, now it's the Mike and JD show, and I am your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm currently going solo on that ass, but it's still the same. JD will be in a little bit, but we were kind of like coming up on 15 minutes late, so he said that he is still got hung up with something at the house. He will be here. Do not fret. I'm not going to be just talking to you guys myself the entire night. So JD will be in a little bit, man. But the chat's already blowing up. We already got some stuff to talk about. I'll be honest, guys. Your boys had a busy week. Lots of stuff's gone on, just like work stuff. And I'll be honest. It's not that I forgot that I had a show today, but I typically do a pretty good job of like preparing show notes and doing some research, scouring the articles and see what's going on with the news of the week. And like throughout the week, I'll actually, like, if I see a cool story or something that I think would be interesting to talk about, I'll bookmark it, I'll label it, and then I'll put it in some show notes and stuff like that. But I've just been like super busy this week. A lot has happened. Nothing like crazy serious, but just like work type stuff. So I didn't get to any of that. So if you guys in the chat want to just pop off and throw some topics my way, that is okay. I do have a few topics that I thought that you guys would be interested in, we'll get started on that in a little bit. But what I want to do first is I want to go to our boy, Triple H Hater Number One. He actually has now surpassed JD Oliva as the top Triple H hater in all of YouTube. Which is actually like pretty significant, because I thought JD was the biggest Triple H hater of all time. I've never met a bigger hater of Triple H than JD. And but Glassdoor Gamer, sir, you have now surpassed JD as the number one Triple H hater in all of YouTube. And I'm going to go ahead and get to your $5 super chat. JD is actually here. He's just getting his equipment set up, so he'll be in a second. Triple H, HBK using Bargain Basement and old stories and Phil's bracelet creative was trash. The whole Vince is gone. Goodwill won't last. I cannot. So if you guys are not Patreon subscribers, I really recommend that you go check out the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. Because I put out a scathing review of SummerSlam 2024. Because as you guys know, and I talked about it here last week, I think I've talked about it every week, the thing that I was actually looking forward to on that show was CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. And I actually watched it live in the middle of the day on a Saturday. I could have been at the beach. But instead, I was at home watching this fucking thing. And it comes up, and I'm watching the match, and the whole thing is actually, it starts off with some heat, so it was actually good, like, heated in the beginning. But then they just pivot to, like, Seth Rollins dancing, and they're talking about his shiny blouse, and he's just being ridiculous. He's taking all the attention away from the match, from the blood feud that we've all been talking about forever. And then they just start focusing on this stupid bracelet. CM Punk had a cheap bracelet made with his wife and his dog's name on it, and Drew McIntyre had stolen it, pulls it out during the middle of the match, and then that's what the match becomes about. It becomes a fight over a bracelet. And I was just like, these guys hate each other. This is supposed to be a blood feud. CM Punk should want to kill this guy, but instead he's focused on the bracelet. The whole thing was garbage. Poor CM Punk was gassed out in 5 minutes. I mean, but like, look, the guy is 46 years old. He hadn't wrestled in a year, and I think he's on some medication that helps you grow bigger muscles when you're 46 years old. So I think there might be a little something there. So He didn't wear those X's on his wrists anymore, I don't think. But that match was garbage. And I was not a big fan of SummerSlam 2024. I know a lot of people were. Here's my philosophy on that. Like whatever you like, I don't care. Like if I don't like something and you like something, that's fine with me. Like I don't have beef. Where WWE misses with me, because everybody's like giving them credit on the stories. And I do think they actually have some compelling stories, and like they're doing a good job of telling them weekly and leading up to this crescendo and these big moments in these matches. The problem is the matches aren't very good. like a lot of them are just mediocre. They're just mid-level matches. And then all they do is they're telling new stories inside of these matches when they should be finalizing the story. There's no end to these damn things. And so, with some exceptions, obviously, like the Cody and Roman thing ended and things like that. But that's the way I felt about SummerSlam 2024. I felt it was just a glorified episode of Raw. Like it could have just been like a Clash of Champions, something like that. But JD is here, man. I did stall for a little bit.
We had a communication.
We need to go and get our super chat right away, man.
Oh, so that's cool. I said we had a communication breakdown. I thought it was like, I just start without me. And I catch up. My bad. Andy's not feeling very good tonight. Yep. So it took me a little while to get him down. His stomach's all messed up. Before bed, he's like, Dad, can we play chess? And I'm like, sure. I taught him how to play chess over the weekend. And he's got for an 8-year-old, he's grasping it pretty well. And the little fucker beat me tonight. So legitimately beat me. And I'm really, really pissed about it, to be quite honest.
Is he grounded now, like for beating Dad?
No, he's actually getting praised for it. I'm actually really proud of him. But at the same time, I'm in theory. Sorry, I didn't have time to set up tonight, so I'm all discombobulated. He's in trouble. I got to get better. So I downloaded the chess app on my phone, and I'm learning strategies now because I can't have an 8-year-old beat me. Like, this is ridiculous. So we're talking about stories, huh, in wrestling?
So that was kind of one of the big things earlier in the week. It's the whole tribalism between WWE and AEW. The AEW doesn't tell stories when they do. Now, you could say the stories aren't very good, and I think some of them just aren't. I think some of them aren't very good. I think some of them are very good. I think what I like about AEW versus WWE is that when AEW does do a story and they do it well, and like I said, not all the time, it's always going to lead to a pretty damn good match. If it's a blood feud, you're going to see blood. If two guys hate each other, they're going to go in the match and it's hating each other. And I just was so disappointed in that CM Punk Drew McIntyre match. I'm just like, what the hell, man?
I don't know why you expect anything out of a CM Punk match. The guy hasn't had a good match in a few years. Like he spent the majority of the last 3 years hurt.
Well, right? I liked a lot of his AEW matches, and I even liked the Samoa Joe match that he went out on. That was pretty good. Yeah,
that one was. That was probably his best match since the coming back from the first injury.
Yeah, I thought one of the matches with Ricky Starks was pretty decent. I think they had a couple. I think they had one in the Owen Hart tournament. And it was like one of them was like pretty basic, and then I thought they had another one. I might be misremembering. Guys, it was a year ago, but I think I remember liking one of his Ricky Starks matches. But yeah, the comeback from Brawl Out was not a great run, but I did think that he, like, in the ring anyway, I thought he ended it well with the Samoa Joe match.
Yeah, the Joe match was a lot of fun. We didn't know the time that things were going where they were. I don't know, but he's been hurt again. So, I mean, like, I don't think you can, I think you got to kind of give him a little bit of a pass. I just think his best days are behind him, and he's a personality at this point. Mm-hmm. And like,
which,
I don't know.
Which means he's in the right place, to be
honest
with you. I think at this point, like, had he stuck with AEW, probably wouldn't have been able to keep up with the pace that they have.
I got some thoughts on this whole story thing, and if I can ever stop playing my damn camera tonight, I'll have it. So, like, while I was trying to put Andy to bed, I was reading an article that was posted on Voices of Wrestling. I think Abraham wrote it, and it was bemoaning this idea of story in wrestling, because a lot of people that frequent sites like VOW and are really more match oriented, like they're guys that really care about the actual belt battle, more than anything else, and that's where their fandom is, and like they don't a lot of not only saying everybody, there's a lot of guys in our circles that really care more about what happens when the bell rings, you know, and like whatever leads up to it doesn't really matter. And the stories can be told in the ring. And I typically agree with that. But I think the things have gotten tribal to the point where we can't even really discuss what a story in wrestling is. And I harp on this a lot because, like, it's not that WWE tells stories. It's not that AEW doesn't tell stories. That's stupid. Anyone who says that is 12 and is a tribalist. Yeah. If you're over the age of 12 and you're spending your time like on Dave's Twitter page or anybody's Twitter page talking shit about, you know, why AEW should go out of business and why they suck, and you're a worthless bottom dweller. And if you're an AEW fan doing the same, you're the same thing. Like, grow the fuck up. But the reality is, like, the idea of storylines in wrestling are now getting a bad mark from people that are typically on our side of the fence, which is silly because, like, at the same time, here's why. Did the CM Punk Drew McIntyre match need this bracelet?
In my opinion, it did not. But what I have, but I do have to say, much to my chagrin, it got over. It's like so, but things get over, and that doesn't mean I like it. But in the audience, it really did play pretty well.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about getting over right now. This is something that we have that, and I was just listening to Chris Zellner and Rob Naylor, and I forget who else, have a really interesting new feed on their Between the Sheets pod feed. That's Center Stage Memories, I think something. It's really focusing on WCW 1989.
So like our gimmick, they're just doing it very well and probably making some good money.
Yeah, better than that. Making money and doing
shit that we like to talk about. They're actually doing it. Okay.
Yeah, but Chris kind of beat us to the punch on like a whole talking about wrestling history thing. So I ain't gonna fault him on that.
Well, you know, and he's very good at what he does, by the way.
He's great at what he does. So, anyways, they're talking about NWA 1989, and that is a legendary year for that company as terms of storytelling and in-ring action. Like, so let's look at this. 1989 WCW NWA. You have Ric Flair, Rick Steamboat, one of the greatest trilogies in wrestling history starting off the year, right? Three of the greatest matches of all time. I don't think anybody would argue with me when I say that. That's like an accepted fact among wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Right. You have the debut and rise of the great Muta, right? Legendary Keiji Muto finding his perfect gimmick that he used for the rest of his career. WWE Hall of Famer, if that suits you. And you've also got Terry Funk coming out of retirement, right? And having this epic feud with Ric Flair that kind of redefines who Terry Funk is for the 1990s, middle-aged and crazy. You know, and it's these awesome, awesome matches. Micah drew like shit.
Yeah.
1989 NWA drew terribly. WWF 1989 drew fantastic. You know, it was on top of there. You're on 1 year into the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage run, right? Which you'd think all the juice had been squeezed out of that at this point. I'm sorry, my camera's really pissing me off tonight. And you add Zeus to the matter, right? And they sold a shit ton of pay-per-views with SummerSlam that year. They did a ton of, they sold out Madison. I think it was Madison, or no, it was Meadowlands. That's what the show is. So WWF 1989 is doing great numbers. The NWA is the better television show. The ratings are actually pretty good by the end of the year, but they aren't drawing. They aren't drawing people. Now let's ask why. Is it that Terry Funk is not a draw? Is it that Ric Flair is not a draw? Is it that Rick Steamboat is not a draw? Right? No. These guys had proven themselves time and again, but people weren't going to the shows. Why? Why aren't people going to the shows? And this is the truth. This is the thing that wrestling people don't want to talk about, is booking. And this is Rob Naylor's. This is a great quote. So I'm paraphrasing him. We give booking too much credit. We give booking and week-to-week storylines too much credit and too much blame for what's going on in a wrestling company. The reality is when you're hot, you're hot.
Mm-hmm.
You could do no wrong when your company is hot. Let me tell you about a little company called WWF 1999. That promotion fucking sucked. Go back and watch the Raws from 1999. They're absolutely awful. 98's got some decent stuff in it. 1999 Raw is absolutely terrible. But man, were they drawing. Why? Company was hot.
Company was hot. And they had stars.
They had stars.
You know, Austin, you know, mega, like legit mega stars, you know.
Well, then to the point,
and they were also very cool. Like WWF 1999 was very.
That's
cool.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the perception.
Yeah,
perception is more important than anything. If the idea that you're cool exists, it doesn't matter. For a long time, you can get by on things not being very good. And NW, go back, watch those shows, man. Go back and watch NWA TV 1989. Tell me it's not good.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
But here's the problem. NWA 1980, early part of 88, 87, not good. Mm-hmm. They burned a lot of crowds. The end of Dusty's run as Booker is not good. Too many bullshit finishes.
So funny you bring that up. You know what I literally just watched? And I have no idea why. So I would say Tuesday night. I think it was Tuesday night. I have not had this in a long time, but I had a little bit of insomnia. And I fell asleep on the couch like 9:30, went up to my bedroom, and I just couldn't go back to sleep. So I go back downstairs. I kick on Bunkhouse Stampede on Peacock. I think Bunkhouse Stampede, it was from the Nassau Coliseum. I want to say 1987, that's since you brought it up.
88.
Okay. It was in 1988. And the co-main event of that was Ric Flair versus Road Warrior Hawk. And I loved the match. Guess what happened in the match?
I'm guessing the Horseman interfered.
Yeah, it was just
DQ.
DQ. Like, he was hitting Hawk with everything. He hit all this, hitting him in the head with chairs, all this. Ric Flair hit him with the chair and got DQ'd. And then, of course, they went to the Bunkhouse Stampede match, which was just like a, I think it was just like a six-man cage match or something like that. But
it was a battle royal. It's a battle royal in a cage.
Yeah, battle royal where you had to go over the top or through the door. That's what it was. Yeah. So that was not a good show. But it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy watching some of it and seeing, like, you know, Barry Windham defend the Western States Heritage Championship and all that. Like, I like seeing the old characters, but yeah, it was not a good show.
I believe the Bunkhouse was a pay-per-view, and that's why we have the Royal Rumble, because the USA ran the Royal Rumble for free at the same time, and they printed the wrong time on the tickets. It's a legendary disaster of a show. But this is what I'm talking about, is that the NWA had burned their audience, their fan base, so bad in 87, 88, that by 89, when they're restarting, because 89 is a complete and total refresh in a lot of ways. You have new ownership. Dusty's gone. Most three of the four horsemen are gone. Flair is a babyface. You're elevating Sting. You burned him with Luger. Luger was super hot in 89. They didn't put him over Flair. So you got to refigure out what you're doing with Luger. Like, and the year starts bad, but by the end of it, it's hot. Like, as far as being a good person. Now, they did well for the Bash. Bash sold 15,000 tickets, excuse me.
Yeah.
But like the house shows and stuff like that, it didn't draw very well. It didn't draw. And this is what I'm going back to, is when people talk about, well, this isn't working because it's not drawing. A lot of times, momentum is a real thing in wrestling. It takes time for something to catch on, right? And I don't particularly care for WWE products. I don't. I made that my bones about that very clear in the show. But they've been really hot for the last 2 years. So it's going to take time for them to cool off. If the show starts to suck, which, you know, some people think it already does, but it's going to take time for people to fall out of the habit. WWF in 2000 was much better than WWF in 1999. But, you know, they don't start to cool until 2003. Mm-hmm. 2002-ish, they start to cool. 2003, yeah. they're getting pretty cool. They're getting pretty cold. Like, and it happens. Like, that's the reality, is when the Titanic starts moving, it takes a lot to turn that ship around. And consequently, when a product gets cold, it stays that way. NWA didn't get hot again until 1996.
Yeah.
And before Hall and Nash come in, they start turning around the house show business with Flair and Savage. But it takes time. It takes, like, look at some of those Nitros, man. They're doing them in small venues because the product wasn't super hot. It took a while.
Where's the first Nitro at?
The mall of America, actually. Minneapolis.
Yeah, and they just had, you know, just chairs sitting there on the floor of the mall, and like most people that were there for free. They were just going up the escalators and sitting around the balcony. That's pay to watch that. So
but it looked cool.
It looked cool. And in fact, I've been advocating, there is an independent promotion that actually runs that place. I've been advocating for, I've been like a big advocate of TNA to run a show there. Cause I think that's like the perfect thing for them to do, kind of get people talking. But man, we got the chat blowing up. I did solicit stuff from the chat. Cause like I said, I didn't really have a good format. I just had a really busy week. Let's see, Dream Ultra Crazy, my man, says, yeah, AEW has some problems and WBD downfall doesn't help. However, WWE has bigger problems coming down the pipeline with the investigation. That investigation's not going away. I think it's going to pick up steam in December is what it's looking like.
Okay, so I think the WWE problems are overblown as far as AEW is concerned, because yeah. What AEW is going to get from WBD theoretically is a pebble in the bucket. Yeah. Like it's very, very small. It's very, very small compared to the problems that WBD has. And people are like, oh, this is terrible. And I'm like, and I've said this on this show many times. Go look at the history of Warner. Just look at the history of Warner. There's a history. It seems like they're gonna be merged again soon. It's like, yeah, that's just what happens with this company.
They always get merged.
They always get merged.
Yeah, we're actually gonna do a full segment on that. I actually got some notes on that.
Oh, I'll hold my thoughts.
I actually pulled up a tweet that I with some info. Let's see. Baby Huey in the chat. He goes, you need a fill in. You know what? You're welcome on the show anytime, brother. You're our homie for life. You should just come on the show. You just want to come on the show next week. This is just me inviting you on. Just come on. We'll just have you as the guest next week. Let's just do that.
Yeah, let's do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'd love to have Huey. Okay, now he's asking probably the most important question of the night. And I think that all of our watchers and our listeners are really going to be interested in this. Where's Brandon Ayuk going? And brother, man, if I knew the answer to that question, I wouldn't have been agonizing on social media and having one YouTube clip after another of different NFL pundits telling me different things. At one point, he was going to the Browns and he was going to the Patriots and then the Washington Commanders. And then now it looks like it might be the Steelers. I think at the end of this thing, he's staying put in San Francisco. That would be my thinking on it. I think ultimately there's a lot of posturing from all the sides. All right, now to what you guys really care about. What's the deal with Pac? He won the title shot. Yeah, he did win a title shot. So did Darby Allin. I think Claudio also has a title shot for different titles. They have so many titles, it's hard to keep track of who's got a shot at what. Doesn't look like he's getting any shot at an All In coming up. So he'll probably be in the gauntlet where he might win another title shot to a different title. I don't know what's going on with the guy, man.
This happens in wrestling. Like, you remember that year that, I forget who it was that won World War III and didn't, I think it was Nash or Giant, I forget who. Someone wins title shot, never gets it, never. Yeah. This happens in wrestling. Like, sometimes, like, you have a storyline and it closes. It's a hole. I'm not going to tell you it's not a hole. They need to address it at some point, but no, it happens.
Yeah. There's a big SG, so Soft Ground Wrestling in Uganda. There's a big scam today.
I didn't read the article. I know I took the opportunity to bury Corey Brennan without reading first because how could I not? He puts his foot in his mouth all the time.
Yeah. Well, so I think what happened was is that a local teenage fan in the States ran a GoFundMe campaign for them. And the money didn't get there in timely fashion or something like that. So the promoter was like burying the kid. And I guess maybe the funds weren't getting to where they need to go and all that stuff. And so that was the whole thing. It was a really long story. And I started to read it and then I got pulled into a meeting and I never got to finish it. So
yeah, we're
it turns out that promoter in Uganda is pretty shady.
I'm shocked to hear that there's a shady wrestling promoter out there. Shocked. I'll read the article probably tomorrow. We had school back to school prep stuff today, so I was kind of busy. Hey, can you skip? Rich put something up in the chat that I think needs to be addressed immediately.
Where?
Voices of Wrestling.
That was me.
It says Rich.
Rich. Oh.
Rich literally put it in the chat. Like maybe.
Where is it at? I'm way at the top.
Well, scroll down. This is very important. Rich wants to know
way at the top. Oh, Rich Sue Williams is in the chat. I'm like way behind.
This is like important, man. Rich wants to know my Portillo's order, and that's actually what I had for dinner tonight. So I think that's very important that I address.
Okay, can you pull it up because I'm not seeing it.
I don't know how to do that. I never do this.
So. You just hit the plus sign.
I just learned something. I've never done it. You always do it. You don't let me do anything. Rich wants to know. Rich Voices Wrestling wants to know my Portillo's order. I had Portillo's today in Sycamore, Illinois. I have celiac disease, Rich, so I can't eat most of what's on the menu. So I get the chopped salad with no pasta. And a large fry because That's just what you do. You bounce out a salad with some big ass fries. That was important, Mike. That had to be taken care of immediately. Chicago thing.
Yeah,
we don't have
Portillo's in Hawaii, I don't think.
You probably will. They keep opening these places. John Muse texted me yesterday. They're getting the Portillo's in Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, that's big. This is a Chicago thing that's becoming a big thing. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. I derailed the show again.
Yeah, no. You're absolutely fine. I don't know where I was at. So,
just keep reading.
Yeah. My bad, guys. My bad. All right. Also, so King of the North here for JD for his quote tweet on that Irish dickheads tweet about the Uganda wrestling thing. Yeah. We just covered that one.
I can't help it. That, like, Irish Dangor, he's such a smug little prick.
Irish Dangor, that's the greatest.
Thank you. He's a putz.
Yeah, that's so funny. So, guy, you guys have got putting some stuff, comments in there that I'm actually going to cover here in a minute. So I just want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat. Thank you. So let's get to the first topic that I had in mind. So it looks like the Lucha Brothers, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I think Sean Rossap had another story, I think, where he just kind of confirmed something that Lucha Blog had already said. I don't know. I don't know what the full story is, but basically that they're on their way out of WWE, and in fact they may have already started talking. And it looks like somebody just put it in the chat. There's a lot of chats going on. I'm trying to keep up with everybody, but it looks like Phoenix just pulled out of some indie dates.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And he actually went ahead, and the Lucha Brothers have already started trademarking some of their IP and things like that, and some new IP. So it looks like the Lucha Bros more than likely are WWE bound.
This is good for wrestling.
Yeah.
Like they've been in AEW for 5 years. I would like to have seen some singles runs from those two, like especially Penta. But it is what it is, man. This is what makes wrestling healthy. And remember AEW was getting all the free agents about 2-3 years ago? And now WWE is going to start getting all of them, and it's just going to open up opportunities for more people to get in spots. Like, everyone assumes everybody's going to go to WWE. Well, then you get a bottleneck, and then people are unhappy. Like, this is how a healthy ecosystem should be. It's time to leave the territory.
Yeah. So, and like, WWE will bring these guys in, and I think Triple H, like, you know, very much was boasting about this. It's like, we bring people in, but it means we also have to get rid of people. So you probably bring the Lucha Brothers in, and then that's going to have a trickle down effect. He brings the Lucha Brothers in, and then they're going to release some people probably from NXT and even the main roster to kind of open up spots. So, and that, what that does is it trickles down to not only to AEW, maybe AEW gets some of that runoff, maybe for Ring of Honor or TNA, obviously. The thing just cycles through. Mm-hmm. That's just the way pro wrestling is.
Healthy.
Yeah, I have no problem with them going to WWE. Do I have any faith that WWE is going to use them very well? No, I don't. No. I don't. But that's not for me. Like, look, they're getting a payday. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna miss seeing them do their shtick. Everybody likes Phoenix more than Penta. I like Penta more than Phoenix.
Pentagon
was my favorite wrestler for a while.
Me too.
I was a big Lucha Underground guy. That doesn't mean I don't like Phoenix. I just find Pentagon more interesting. I do think that in AEW at times he relied way too heavily on the shtick. I think you only get one or two Seto Miedos per match for me, and then I'm done with it. Now you got to just start kicking ass. So I think maybe he's probably going to do it even more now that he's going to WWE.
Oh, they're going to eat it up. Those fans are going to, they love chanting stuff. And Penta gets to be kind of lazy doing the matches there. It's a good, for where they are in their careers at this point, it's a good fit. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good fit. I'm completely fine with it. Now the next guy that looks like that he might be on his way over there. I need to actually pull up the tweet because I think PW Insider had a report on this. Hold on, let me go to my bookmarks. I actually bookmarked a few. I tried to do a little bit of research for the show tonight, but it looks like. So numerous sources within WWE state that there's certainly interest in a number of AEW stars whose deals are coming up or expiring or have been off TV for some time. Those stars include one of the men is named Ricky Starks. Looks like WWE is really interested in Ricky Starks, which makes sense because he's like a Cody guy. And I could see why they would want him. He's pretty good. I don't know why he's not on AEW television. I know that there were some rumors out there that maybe he turned down a bunch of storyline stuff, but I don't think that's completely accurate. He's been willing to go back. He's not currently hurt. He's just been off TV. And it's probably because AEW knows that he's very likely going to WWE.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There's not room for everybody, yeah. You know, like the NXT system is meant to develop their guys, right? Like yeah. Ricky's been around for a long time. I know he'll have opportunities, but I don't know. Like I don't dislike Ricky Starks. I just think he's going to be really small. I think he's going to be really small in WWE. I think his size is not going to be matched very well over there. And you got a big old juice head running that place still. So I think he'll get pushed to a certain extent, but I don't know who he leapfrogs over there. I'm actually one of these guys that doesn't think Ricky Starks is underpushed.
I think he's pretty good, but I think
he's good.
Yeah, I like everybody's like, well, they should have done more with him. I'm like, okay, well, who would you have put him above? Mm-hmm. And I think that becomes the question. So if he goes to WWE, probably as far as positioning goes, probably a lateral move. Unless they put him in NXT, then you saw what happened to Ethan Page, probably just make him the world champion right away, which would be fine.
I mean, that's
great. They're trying to load that show up for CW. So
as well, they should. They have to do something big on CW because CW is the shit right now. So they have to make a splash. I mean, they cannot rely on, well, we're on network now because CW is barely a network at the moment. So they have to load it up. But at the same time, like Ethan Page, yeah, okay, he's doing great in NXT. But I mean, like, that's his ceiling.
Yes. Yes. That I mean, but I think if you bring in a guy like Ethan Page, I think what they're doing with him is like exactly what I don't know that I would have made him the champion, but what they're doing with him, bring him to NXT, working with young talent, I think that's the perfect spot for him, honestly.
I agree.
Like, I don't think he has a main roster future. If he does, it's going to be very short-lived, which he's going to be one of those veterans that's never really gotten over that might get a little bit over in NXT because it's like fake over because a lot of their fans, it's like the same people. They'll support anybody. And then when they get to the main roster, like, oh, shit. Okay, this guy really isn't what we thought he was. And then he'll be gone. If I were him, I would not fight to get to the main roster. I'd be like, no, I kind of like it here.
Oh, no, he'll fight for it because I think he has an unrealistic expectations of himself, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But yeah. Whatever.
It's okay to be confident, by the way.
For sure. Oh, 100%. He should say that. He should be thinking he should be the world champion. Ethan Page should be plotting how he main events WrestleMania. It's not on him to be realistic. It's on him to shoot for the stars. It's not the rest of us to go, no.
Yeah. Yeah. The other guy, his name keeps getting tossed around, but last I checked, I think Ibu, and I think I did something earlier on the Patreon, Ibu is saying that Daniel Garcia is very likely staying with AEW now. That's what it's looking like. And I think Dave Meltzer had also agreed with that. But his name was being tossed around again by PW Insider this week as somebody that WWE would be interested in. And I know that they'll like the dance. But other than the dance, he doesn't really do anything that they would like. So I don't know how he would even fit in that company.
I kind of agree with you. I wonder sometimes, like, I don't, and I like Daniel Garcia.
Me too.
But he doesn't strike me as someone there that would, that they would be. I think he's good, but I don't know. I don't see him as somebody they would put a lot into. You know, I feel like he would get stuck in NXT and be in the, and he's way better than Brian Pillman. But I mean, like, I don't see them pushing him. You know, he's, like I said, small. I think his size gets exacerbated on the WWE roster. Whereas I think in AEW, him being smaller, and they did seem like they're ready to do something with him, but they weren't gonna, they did a really good, I was there, Chicago's great, it's a great angle. They took him out and they kind of put him in a spot where, well, he can come back and be hot, or he can, you know, be like a notch on MJF's belt. Either way, like I think that's really good booking. Like either way, it works just fine. So I think he's better staying. In AEW.
I think so. Cause I think that, it's very clear the way that they've been booking him lately. I know there for a while, they were kind of cold. I don't know if they were cold on him, but they weren't really doing much, but it seemed like it had picked up quite a bit. And maybe it picked up because they're trying to be like, hey, no, we really want you to stay. So let's push you. And then let's get you heated up with MJF in order to entice him to stay. And it looks like, good for him for at least, you know, playing his cards,
knowing his value.
Yeah, and try to get something from the other side to maybe bump your price up.
This is what's so great about having three viable companies in wrestling. Like, this is excellent. Guys are getting paid more. Like, it drives the market up. I don't see why anybody wants either of these companies to go out of business. Oh, because you're an idiot. That's why.
Yeah. You're part of a culture war, and you just want to win at all costs. But look at what would happen if you won, right?
Dude, there's no one in the AEW locker, in the WWE locker, and wants AEW to go out of business.
No, they love the fact that AEW, and vice versa, nobody in the AEW locker room wants WWE to go out of business, because if their contract comes up, they need somebody to negotiate with to make sure that they have more money. It's why in the NFL, they don't want certain football teams to just not be there anymore. They don't want to shrink the league. They want to make it bigger, and they want the TV money to go up for everybody. That way there's more piece of the pie. That's just how it goes. Couple more topics, and then I'm really going to get back to the chat, because you guys are on fire tonight, and I see you guys in there, so thank you for being here. I greatly appreciate it. I actually might go ahead and pull this tweet up. It's from this guy's like a hardcore Republican, but I think he's kind of funny. His name's Sagar. I listen to his podcast. So this is Sagar. Oh, what the hell? Not that one. This one. Okay. Okay, here we go. This is from Sagar. So cable TV is in such shit shape that CNN parent company WBD just wrote off $9.1 billion in value as linear TV operations continue to go belly up. And then he pulled the story here, and it says they posted nearly $10 billion in quarterly loss, mostly due to a write-down of the value of its cable networks. A stunning acknowledgement of how television industry has deteriorated since the Blockbuster deal that created the conglomerate 2 years ago. The $9.1 billion non-cash impairment comes as the cable networks of Warner Brothers, Discovery, including CNN, TNT, and TBS, have been hammered by cord-cutting, declining ratings, and a weak advertising market. Streaming platforms such as Netflix have taken audience and subscribers away from what was once the engine powering the media industry. So, yeah, not a good job, not a good report from David Zaslav, and a lot of people are scared about the future of Warner Brothers Discovery.
Warner Brothers isn't going to cease to exist. I mean, like, they're hurting right now, but this is kind of like, this is business in America. Like, if you look at stuff from Disney in the 80s, there was times they were on life support. Like, that's why you hire, that's why CEOs get paid so much, is because the idea is they're going to save these companies. Now, in reality, most of them fail miserably, but they're well taken care of. David Zaslav's not good at this. I've been saying it for 3 years on this show. Right.
Yeah,
it was
ever since he took over. Yeah.
Ever since I told you from we started Brace for Impact. I told you that from the jump, Mike, this isn't good. This guy doesn't get this particular part of the industry. He's done a really poor job with Warner Brothers film. Right. They did have a great year last year with Oppenheimer and Barbie. So that was big for them. This year, not as much. Right. Next year is big for them because they're going to be starting their DC franchise again. They're jump starting it with Superman. And It's gonna be interesting to see how that translates. Now, that being said, this is the reality of cable TV. This is why idiots that began on Dave, why isn't stuff growing year over year? Nothing is growing year over year. So I mean, like, this is just the reality of things. And, like, you know, people don't shed tears for guys who used to make, you know, buggy whips. You know, stuff evolves, stuff changes. We don't have radio dramas. We have podcasts, right?
Yeah.
The nature of things change. People aren't going to stop watching sports. They're not going to stop watching TV. They're just going to, how they're consuming it's going to change. And the streamers aren't exactly doing great either. That's because we're in a weird marketplace where we don't know, where nobody really knows what tomorrow brings, right? Like, I saw a report this week that said, two-thirds of Netflix subscribers never turn it on.
I could see that. Like, I could see that because I actually turned on Netflix last night for the first time in like 2 weeks. I have it. I just had not been using it.
I don't have
the shows. The shows that I was watching, I finished. Yeah. So I didn't go back. And then I was just kind of flipping through the channels last night. Like, let me see what the hell's going on Netflix. So I started watching Unsolved Mysteries.
Ooh, the original.
No, they have a new version of it. They're on their fourth season. And really? So I was watching season 4, episode 1 about Jack the Ripper.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's the host?
It's there's no, there's they don't have a Robert Stack on this one. There's no real host. Yeah,
that's
disappointing. I was disappointed in that too. I think the interesting thing about it is it just, and that I think the point of the tweet and the point of the story was that cable is continuing to die, mm-hmm. at more of a rapid pace than it was before. We thought cable was gonna, it was just gonna be like the slow bleed. That bleed, we're starting to hemorrhage out a little bit with some of these cable networks, and so to where every cable network and every like entity, every product out there, and we're seeing it with the NBA, we're seeing it with the NFL, now WWE. You need to have a cable component and you need to have a streaming component. And I think that's what the AEW's future is going to look like if they do mm-hmm. remain on WBD, that they can't do anything without Max, because if they don't have Max and their future isn't really locked in, if their future is only on cable, I don't think that's a long-term thing. You're going to want to get that streaming package into your distribution deal.
I'm reasonably certain that's one of the roadblocks that they've hit is just what the streaming deal looks like.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of these promises people don't know. Like Netflix is really going to uncharted territory with WWE Raw weekly, right? Like this is still new for what Netflix was. If you'd have told me in 2003 when I was getting DVDs in the mail that Netflix would be the host of Raw, I would just be like, how is this? How? Like, what is
yeah, so yeah, how weird. Does that work?
It's so weird how these companies have evolved. Like I was watching, by the way, Mike, have you seen Batman Caped Crusader yet?
No, not yet, but I will. I'm taking next week off of work, so I have some shows that I'm looking forward to.
The wife and I finished it tonight. It's excellent.
Okay.
It's absolutely excellent. But that show was developed for Max.
Yeah.
And then Zaslav did the Zaslav thing where he cut it, and then Prime went, oh, we'll take that. And yeah. People are watching it. But again, like this, we talked about last week on the show. There's like, production companies used to make money by making a show and selling it to a network. We've kind of cut that process out, right? So these platforms are making shows and they're not selling them. They're selling them direct to subscribers, right? So you've lost a big middle component here, right? Why do you think the NBA and the NFL are making so much money? Because they're producing content and selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's where these streamers are losing stuff. So Zaslav actually did have a decent idea, but the problem is he has a hard time executing anything.
Yeah. So and I guess what the big question of the segment that we need to get into is, I mean, how much longer are they going to keep this guy around?
I've been saying this for a year. I don't see how he survives the month, to be honest with you. I really don't. Like you look at what the stock is doing, the investors cannot be happy with his performance. He sucks.
Yeah. He sucks. I'm with you. I don't think he survives the month. And in fact, if I woke up tomorrow and found out he'd been fired, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Because we've been talking about it for a long time. This guy just does not know what he's doing.
Dude, I hate using this phrase, but he basically kind of cucked himself with the NBA. I hate that phrase. Yeah. It's so like,
no, he was
so like right wingy. But I mean, like that's what happened.
I happen to say that phrase. I didn't know that was a right wing thing. I was just what CM Punk was saying, he was stepping on his own dick. Like he just kind of like, they won't leave, And it's like, oh, sure enough, they did.
I don't know why I don't know how he thought he had the upper hand in this stuff. We're talking about the NBA here. Like it's one of the most, I'm amazed he's still here after blowing that, to be honest with you, because this lawsuit that they're going to have, who knows? Charles Barkley's like, I'm going to be on TNT forever. It's like, are you sure? Like the NBA doesn't agree with you on this one, my man. Yeah. Like,
well, he'll go to golf. If the other's NBA, he just likes TNT. He'll probably just start doing golf. For real.
Put him on Dynamite, I guess. It'd be fine. It'd be entertaining.
That would be fun.
It would be fun, actually. I don't know, man. I don't see him lasting the month. I mean, he probably will, but I don't see how. You know? We'll see.
I don't see how. All right, chat. I promised I would get to you guys. I want to pull this guy up. Suit Williams, a friend of the show, Voices of Wrestling contributor, also a contributor to the Wrestling Observer online. Guys on Twitter, if you are mad at Suit because he doesn't like the thing that you like, eat shit. Quit going after him just because he doesn't rate the matches the way that you rate it. Y'all can suck my whole butt if you got a problem with Suit. So I like Suit Williams.
Suit's good dude.
Yeah. And he is a full-blown WWE hater.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, he admitted. So the guy admitted it. So why are you giving him a hard time about it? He's admitting that he hates the show. But anyway, I really like Suit. I like it. He's a good follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Some of his football takes are a little wacky. We might get into it this year. I don't know. We'll see. But he said, I wonder how the perception shifts again with WWE's rabid fan bases online. I think their rabid fan base turns people off from going to check out the show, to be honest with you.
I wonder how real the online WWE guys are. I do think a lot of them are bot accounts. I kind of agree.
I don't disagree with that. I do think that definitely exists.
But there is a large upswing of people that want WWE to be really good, and we'll say it's good no matter what. We saw it in 2019 when it was awful.
Yeah, well, and previous to that, and I think and back when it was occurring, where there was this big rebellion against WWE, which really opened the door for AEW, right? There's a lot of things that opened the door for AEW, but the big rebellion against WWE, and I think Jim Cornette was talking about it at the time. One of his theories was that WWE, the leadership there, had made themselves heels. And so for 20 years they were the heels on television, and so the fans were not really wanting to support them. And I think there was something to that. Now Triple H and Shawn Michaels have put themselves in a babyface position, and where they're the rah-rah guys, and now all the fans are like getting behind them and supporting them as if they're like political activists or something like that. All right, Jan says, why does Tony keep signing people who don't move the needle? He signed Monet and Okada. They haven't moved ratings. Meanwhile, WWE has plucked Punk and Rhodes. Well, you know, WWE hasn't, you know, hit a home run with everybody. I think Rhodes was obviously a home run signing. Punk hasn't really moved the needle for them, I wouldn't say.
I hate the phrase move the needle. It is the lowest hanging fruit phrase. I hear it work sometimes. Like, what moves the needle? What moves the needle? Like, nothing fucking moves the needle. Like, this is the reality. Perception is more important than anything. Yeah. WWE is a cool company. Like you said, Punk doesn't like... He doesn't move anything anywhere else. Like, they were hot no matter what. They were hot before Punk came back.
Yeah.
Like, Cody Rhodes, on the other hand, wasn't. Like, he did good with AEW, but he wasn't the player that he was in WWE.
Yeah, I think Cody Rhodes really shifted the audience.
I agree with that. I think
he came over, and I really think he helped change the perception of the WWE. And then they ended up getting completely behind him. And he's been a really great babyface.
Well, okay, what is his, okay, Jan, because Jan's really smart. So I want to know what Jan thinks that Kazuchika Okada, a guy who spent the majority of his career in Japan.
Yeah.
How is he supposed to move the needle with an American audience? How are a million people supposed to, who don't know who Kazuchika Okada is, how are they supposed to come to him?
Her question. Why did Tony Khan sign the guy?
Because he's good. Because you don't sign people to move.
That's the answer.
This is the flaw in the question. Well, they don't move the needle. Well, dipshit, nobody moves the fucking needle. When Cody Rhodes was just signed because it was a good pickup to have and it was a nice one to stick it. They didn't think he was going to become what he became. I'll maintain it. They didn't think he was going to become this. Again, nobody but Cody Rhodes, I think, thought he was going to become this. Kudos to him for taking advantage of this. Like Mercedes Moné, like she's like, let's be honest, the majority of her fans are WWE diehards. And she has done good work there. You don't sign people to quote unquote move the needle because the needle don't move. You dumbass. We just talked about how cable TV is dying. WWE is doing great ratings right now with Raw. What is it compared to what it was 4 or 5 years ago? Not a lot.
Yeah. There's only like a handful of people that actually are significant draws. Like if you put them on the show, they're going to sell more tickets. They're going to sell more merch, more pay-per-views and stuff like that. There's very few. Everybody now is attracted to a brand. They're going for the overall experience right now, right?
Yes.
And so AEW's brand is cold. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people don't want to admit that, but because they're going to point to All In coming up in the UK. But if you look at All In this year versus All In last year, there's a significant drop off, right? So AEW as a whole is cold. They are. Mm-hmm. That's just it. And unless they sign John Cena, right? It's not going to turn around like that. It's going to take time. It's going to take time to turn things around. They got to continue to have sustained, superior performance. That's what they need. That's what gets things turned around. And then WWE might have to have more shows like SummerSlam that I didn't think were very, very good. Let's
be honest though. 2 years ago, the idea that WWE was starting to get really hot, right? That first Triple H show.
Yeah.
They had up 44,000 people there. That's how many people are All In right now. That's how many tickets they have sold. So is there less? Yes. Should Tony Khan have tried to sell one, do this in 1 week, 2 years in a row? No, I don't think so. Because look at WWE. They weren't running the Silverdome 2 years in a row.
No.
They didn't try to do that shit in 1988 when they were still a hot company. Like,
I think a big indicator for kind of where they're at now is if you take a look at the year-by-year decline at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Yeah,
I think
the Arthur Ashe Stadium, like, being set up for like 4,000 is real. Like, that's real significant, they right? Versus what it was 20, it was 20,000 a few years ago.
Yeah, they shouldn't run it. They shouldn't be running Arthur Ashe right now. That's some, that's like NWA 1989 stuff. That's like when they ran the Clash of Champions at the Superdome and sold like 3,000 tickets or something like that. Like, I think that Tony gets so stuck into his traditions that doesn't really follow what, I mean, I think that the residency has been good, right?
Yes.
Just work on trying to get, I think the shows have been better as of late. Like, I think the last couple months worth of AEW has been better, but it's going to take more than a couple months of decent shows to turn that around. Like, you really did a lot of damage to your brand in 2021. Yeah. Brawl Out in 2021. We're going on almost 3 years.
Yeah.
2022. Well, we're going on 2 years of really damaged property. Right.
Well, and then WWE has partnered up with the Kremlin for a misinformation campaign that's been plugging away for a few years, helping to change the perception. I'm being facetious, but I do think that there's a perception war going on online.
Twitter isn't real life, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. I think because we live on Twitter, and guys like us put way too much value into what Twitter conversation is. Like, you could take a temperature on there, but I mean, like, it isn't the end all be all. I think AEW's biggest problem isn't like your Gareth 495s on Twitter. Your biggest problem is that there's not enough people that know what's going on in that company, just regular old wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Right. And it's hard to beat the machine. Like, are they cold? Yeah, but they are still the second most successful wrestling promotion in the last 30 years. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're just in a kind of a weird cold period.
But they're also the only.
And we'll see how they come out of it. We'll see how they come out of it. And then, however they come out of it, we will study. We'll study what happened. That's how this stuff works.
Oh, I agree with you. I think too. Like, they're also, find me another secondary sports league that's as successful. Like the NBA, the WNBA, excuse me, took what, 30 years, 25 years to get popular, like legitimately. The UFL with Dwayne behind it, they no one gives a crap about that. You know, minor league baseball, you go just for something to do. You know, it's just like, I don't know what people expect.
Yeah. Everything Pro Wrestling says, Bound for Glory to Detroit. Yes. Let me get to that, because our buddy Muse is pretty excited about this, because he has been to a lot of the bigger shows, but he's never been to a Bound for Glory. So let me get this up on the screen here, and I want to shout out our buddy Io, who is a big supporter of the show, who's in the chat tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we got October 26th, Detroit, Michigan, at the Wayne State University Fieldhouse, which is like, I think, a 3,000 seat venue. So they might try to do something there. They might try to put some people in that place. But I think we were all expecting it to be in the UK. I certainly was. That was a rumor going around for a little while. And I did hear from a BQ a few weeks ago, and he said that he didn't say that it was not going to happen in the UK, but he said the answer that he got back was that plans change. And so apparently they just couldn't get the deal done. Good news for everybody that's a TNA fan. Jeff Hardy will be able to be at Bound for Glory this year. So there you go. So they're going to be at the Wayne State Field House. Looks like a pretty nice venue. And John Muse will be in the audience telling us how it all is. So thank you, everything for Pro Wrestling, for bringing that up. I think, and I'm going to end on some TNA stuff. I was actually going to start with that while JD was out, but I had to address our super chat. All right, let's go through these rapid fire. Sean Tragedy says, shout out to Ibu of Wrestle Purist. Give him love. Yeah, I got to say, man Ibu, a friend of the show, been on the show before, one of our first guests that we've ever had on the show, he's actually been dropping some legit, like, sourced scoops online, and, like, it's been getting picked up by all the aggregators. So he's been doing an excellent job over there, and I think people are giving him shit because he's the one guy on Twitter that liked that CM Punk and Drew McIntyre match.
People give Ibu shit because he's not with a big outlet. Like, I see Ibu take a lot of weird criticism from people that's like totally unwarranted. Like, oh, why do you want to talk to the backup hangman? Like, why do you care? Like, what? Yeah. Why do you care even in the slightest about that?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, everything. He says, what do you make of Conan's involvement? I think he put this up here a while ago. Yeah, this is from a while earlier in the show about the Lucha Brothers signing with WWE. Yeah, he put a tweet out that said, what goes around comes around. I get the feeling that this is Conan's doing, getting the Lucha Brothers to jump over to WWE. I think he's a part of it. In fact, he was their agent for a while. I know he's the one that brought them over to TNA. He was the one that I think was like the guy that really brought them into AAA too back in the day when they were kids.
Yeah, they've been AAA guys for a long time, so it wouldn't surprise me if they were loyal to Conan or Conan helped negotiate a deal. Conan's what goes around comes around thing entertains me because like he kind of fucked the AEW relationship by having the FTR put over Dragon Lee and then say, oh, he's going to WWE. Like how would you expect that to continue to go? And it's going to be funny when Tony signs Vikingo when he's healthy. So, you know, what goes around comes around.
Yeah. All right. Suit says, I'm a Starks guy, not just because he's from New Orleans. And everything says, hit the like on the stream. Yeah, hit the like button. Make sure you're a subscriber. Throw down a comment. And also head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show, where I will be back this weekend for another edition of Brace for Impact. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of stuff to talk about there. So Suit also says, I don't watch TNA or MLW, but if either of those promotions got a paying TV deal, that's even better for the scene. You know, there's a rumor out there. There's another promotion that just started that might be actually looking for a TV deal. It's MLP Wrestling. I think it's My Little Pony Wrestling. I think bronies and cloppers are going to get together in Canada and really look at some cartoon horses wrestle. Hold on. I'm being told it's Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling, not My Little Pony Pro Wrestling. So Maple Leaf, Scott D'Amore is back. He has returned to the scene. His non-compete is up. And he is starting Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. It looks like he's trying to get a TV deal in Canada somewhere.
That's interesting. I wonder how many people from TNA are loyal to Scott and would go work for him. Because I can see Scott having a chip on his shoulder.
The head trainer of Scott's school is named Josh Alexander. His girlfriend is Giselle Shaw. And both of them are on the debut show. So I think there's some people, and I think Jake something is also, who was trained by Scott D'Amore. I think I saw his name that was going to be on there. And he also is for the first show. They're booking, the Maharaja, that guy. So he's going to be on there too. So, we'll see. We'll see. All right. The amount of doom and gloom from AEW fans over the Lucha Brothers stuff was embarrassing. Yeah. They're getting older and are injury prone. This is just the business. Yeah. A lot of people are like, on the AEW side, well, they're not that good anyway. You see that?
Well, it's either they're not that good anyway, or oh my god, it's the end. How did Tony let these guys go? Guys, this is wrestling. This is what has to happen.
Yeah, they no, Tony fumbled the Lucha Brothers, who were fixtures in primetime television for 5 years, multiple titles, was the co-main event of probably one of the great tag team matches I've ever seen against the Young Bucks inside of a steel cage. Right. So
what didn't they do? Like I can't figure out what stone has been left unturned with the Lucha Brothers in this promotion. Like, again, you didn't get like singles runs with them, but who would you bench? You know, like, I think that's ridiculous. Good for Lucha Bros for getting paid more.
Yeah. Good for them. Nonzo, Tactical Playmaker, says Batman Cape Crusader was a good show. Finishing two nights. Zaslav, complete moron for selling to Prime.
Yeah. He's right. It's so good. It's so good. It's the best Batman. It's probably my favorite interpretation of Batman since The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to get here. Keep It Wilson says business has never turned around immediately or with one decision. It takes prolonged effort. Like I said, sustained superior performance.
Good tweet.
It doesn't turn around overnight.
Good comment.
Yeah. Transferring Heat says Punk segments have drawn very well in WWE. Be interesting to see what Punk's drawing power will be on the NXT show in October in Chicago. Well, there's a reason why they booked the Rosemont Horizon, and he is going to be top of the billing. It's because he's going to do very well.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling he won't be the only main roster star there.
They're going to load it up, which is good. They have to. They have to make this work. The CW deal is questionable at the moment just because of the status of the CW. Right. It's interesting.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm really trying to get to all your comments. You guys are wild tonight. You guys are wild. Here's a question. Thank you. We've got a question. Mike and JD Show. Do you think Wardlow will also follow Ricky Starks to WWE? I certainly hope he will. Sure. Because I had high hopes for that guy, and I just don't think that AEW really sees it in him. And I think that WWE, he's like perfect for what they do. So I just hope for his sake that he does go. I think he's like Batista Light, and I think they'll just like him. I really do.
He's like 35. It's not like they didn't know he was around. Like, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't see Wardlow the same way a lot of other people do. Like, I know he got kind of over with the powerbomb thing, but I mean, they got five younger Wardlows in NXT right now who are cheaper and just probably more charismatic. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, sure, bring Wardlow over. I think that guy definitely gets swallowed up in that sea of sharks. He's not that good.
Yeah, man. I early on he had a cage match with Cody, and I think we need to give Cody a lot of credit for how good he really is, because I think that we didn't appreciate him when he was in AEW, because he's over there with like the guys that are, they do every fucking move, and you know, and they're kicking out of everything and just having these crazy matches, and his style I just didn't think meshed up well. Then if you look back on it, it's like, you know, he was really good. it's just a different style.
I think what hurt Cody in AEW was he's a good wrestler, but I don't think he's a bad booker, and I don't think he's a great executive, like doing that job. Like, I think his wrestling stuff was always pretty good. I never had a problem with any of his matches. It was his booking ideas that were weird.
Yeah, I mean, that match, his match with Andrade, and then of course the match with his brother. Match with his brother is one of my favorite matches I've ever seen. Great matches. So. Yeah, but I think he was like, because he wasn't Kenny Omega, you know, and he wasn't the Young Bucks, I think people tried to knock him while he was there. The only thing that I had a problem with Cody in AEW is, and then he's gotten better at in WWE, is I felt like every interview he was doing the fucking Gettysburg Address. And I was like, bro, just, you don't have to go 20 minutes on this promo. You don't have to get so sappy. You know what I mean?
But I think he got to workshop a lot of that stuff that he's doing in WWE now in AEW. Like, he got to really refine, like, he played with it in the indies, because again, the Ring of Honor Cody Rhodes is not the Cody Rhodes we got in AEW. That Cody Rhodes is closer to what we have in WWE now, but it's still, like you said, he also doesn't have the albatross of his wife on television. Yeah, I think that hurt him a lot, because she's not very good at anything pro wrestling related.
No, I think there was a reason why WWE wanted her to be a ring announcer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when we saw when she went to TNA, what happened there? Like, she wasn't very good in TNA, and then she got into AEW, and every time she was on TV, I was like, change the channel, heat with me. I just didn't think that she was very good.
She's not very good.
Yeah, but Suit says AEW has to super serve their audience again. That's what made them hot before, and they just have to get back to super serving the idea of being an alternative. They have to be a challenger brand.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they aren't.
Yeah. Me and Nonzo got heat. Hey, Nonzo, you're a Patreon subscriber. Don't do super chats anymore. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. If you guys are Patreon subscribers, don't do super chats. That makes it feel weird. It's like,
I'm fine, maybe it's just a me thing,
but thank you for the super chat.
It's a you thing.
what does TNA have to do to get a good TV deal to close the gap to an AEW and cement themselves as a strong number three? I don't think they can do anything to close the gap with AEW. I think the damage is just too far gone, and AEW has been in their time slots, like near the top every single week for 5 years. You know what I mean? I think they're just like a super strong number two. Could they get a new TV deal? I think right now cable television is scrambling to find programming that's sustainable. And I think pro wrestling is one of those things that's sustainable, which is why, you know, AEW started out with Dynamite, and then they got Rampage, then they got Collision, and now then they had a reality show, and now they got this other thing where they got like wrestlers. What is it called? Overdrive is what they were advertising this week. Where like after Collision, there's like a new show after Collision where wrestlers are going to watch like videos, like online videos, and do commentary on them of like people crashing or something. Like
oh, that. Sounds awful.
Something that you would see on True TV. They're going to be putting it on. Like after Collision. So I think that I think next year they could be in line to upgrade their distribution, and I think they're trying to do that. But I don't think they're gonna get something that would make them even remotely close to AEW.
It's all about network too. Like as much we talk about how like they talk about how much TNT and TBS are struggling, but TNT, TBS, and USA are the biggest networks.
Yes.
Right? They have the most exposure. They have the most viability. Like, the History Channel ain't going to pick up wrestling. Like, no. I don't see... The problem with TNA is that it's limited. You know? Like, they don't have the... It's... Who's going to pick them up? Like, I just... The second brand is a hard enough sell. The third company is a real hard sell.
Yeah, third brand is tough. Now, they do have some name identity. You know, they were around for a long time. They did have a lot of viewers at one point in time. And maybe now that they changed the name back to TNA, maybe a former wrestling fan that was around during the Spike TV era might be an executive right now, might want to give them a shot. I don't know, man. I think that they took so many steps down, it's going to be hard for them to get back up. But look, crazier things have happened. Invicta's on CBS Sports Network right now and seemingly doing very well. You know what I mean? I think it's entirely possible just because, like I said, cable companies right now are scrambling for programming. They really are. And I think wrestling is sustainable programming that could do pretty well. And TNA, every network that they've ever been on, they've always been right at the top of that network.
That's true.
For 20 years. So I think they have that going for them. The production has gotten a little bit better. And I think that if they go to, like they do what they said, we'll go into a studio, I think they could do something. But right now, I keep saying they should go to a studio, but they have their live events have done really well the last couple of months since June. Since June, their live event business has really picked up, where their Tampa tapings right now look really damn good. Like, every seat is full, the lighting is really good, and they got a hot crowd. So they got some momentum going on right now, and I hope they're able to carry it.
TNA is doing a very good job servicing their fan base right now.
Yeah.
They're probably the second best in the country at that right now, servicing their fans, making their fans happy. Problem is, it's just a smaller base. It's just it's a subsect of a subsect, you know? That's what hurts TNA.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Keep It Wolfson says, I think things about Cody that AEW fans hated are the things the WWE fans like about him. The jingoism, the dramatic stories, and the canned promos. Yeah, I mean, I think JD's right. I think his entire run, he was auditioning to be a WWE main eventer. And look, it worked out for him. He's one of the great baby faces that they've ever had, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. And now I think that next year he's very likely going to be in the main event again, main eventing his third in a row, and it'll probably be against The Rock. So
that's pretty. Like, this dude had, when he left WWE in 2016, because he didn't think he was getting what he deserved, was one of the greatest gambles that a professional wrestler has ever taken, and it paid off in spades. Like, nobody has ever bet on himself and been paid back the way Cody Rhodes did, and you have to give him credit on that. That's really impressive in the long run.
Yeah, very. Io says WWE should hook them up sci-fi, maybe. He's making a joke. We actually made that joke on Brace for Impact. And then I clipped that for YouTube. And believe it or not, is performing pretty well, because TNA going after TV deals does very well on the YouTube channel.
So, hilarious.
Yeah. All right. We got a couple more that we're going to get out of here. Keep It Wolfson says, probably getting AEW ROH on the newly rebranded True TV. So that was an interesting thing that came out. So True TV is not turning into TNT Sports, but their prime time slot, 8 to 11, is going to be labeled TNT Sports. That's going to be a TNT Sports block. It would make sense for a Ring of Honor to be on one of those blocks. I don't know that that's going to happen, but if they do label it AEW Ring of Honor, right, like the name of the TV show is Ring of Honor, AEW, we said that since they bought the damn thing. It's their version of NXT. Just lean into it. Stop trying to make Ring of Honor happen, right? Mm-hmm. Just make it the name of one of your TV shows. You got the IP. Just do it. I think that them being on True TV, and I'll be honest, if they do, they're very likely going to go head-to-head with TNA on True TV and kick TNA's ass in ratings, definitely. Because True TV is just a much bigger station. It just really is. So,
I think it's a mistake not rebranding the entire network TNT Sports, you know?
Yeah. Well, we were talking to Muse, and like 90% of their programming is just like reality TV show type, like ghost stories and shit like that. So, murder mysteries.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's not working. And like you said, cable TV is struggling so much to find something that works. But the name TNT Sports has a much higher Q ready than True TV. True TV is like, so
I'll be honest, the last time I bought cable, like what I do is I have my favorites list, because I hide channels that I will never watch. True TV is one of those channels. I just like Like I'm never going to watch that. I'm never going to watch MTV. It's just like, I just not going to do it. So I hide it.
I got rid of cable 10 years ago. So I don't, you know, MTV is still a thing. I was telling Andy what MTV was the other day. And he was like, a channel of just music videos.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Said, yeah, it was great. And then he was just like, huh. Like it just it boggled his mind.
And like the TV shows that they had, like Beavis and Butthead were like, they watched great music videos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great stuff. All right, couple more, and we're out. John Mew says, AEW got a recent fan service perception a long time ago. One of the things that has caused them the problem,
he's right.
Yeah.
He listened. They listened to Eric Bischoff and chased those casuals.
Yeah. Suit says, the way Tony talked about it, Ring of Honor, shows that it's at least in the conversation. Yep.
Seems like there's some smoke to the fire.
All right, and lastly, Nico says, would AEW brand benefit from cutting down on the product? It feels like expanding to 5 hours of weekly TV emphasizes the flaws in their booking, and the demand just isn't there. I think there's some truth to that. However, they're going to be offered so much more money to have those hours of television. They got to go with it. I think Tony Khan needs to give up the book on those smaller shows, those BBC shows, because he's clearly overextended.
Oh, 100% with everything else he does too. Like when you say benefit, like the most important benefit for any business is revenue, right? Yeah. They're getting money. Like they're getting paid. If someone pays you, you do it. Like everyone always brings up, oh, WCW killed themselves and they picked up Thunder, blah, blah, blah. WWF did the same thing with SmackDown.
Yeah.
It just worked.
The difference was the WWF had the infrastructure to be able to withstand it. And they had a cyborg named Vince McMahon running it that just didn't sleep. Right. WCW did not have the infrastructure to be able to sustain that. And I think that's been kind of part of what AEW's problem has been, is because they don't really have the infrastructure to be able to sustain all of it, which is, we've had communication issues. We have communication breakdowns. We've had lots of plot loopholes. We've had wonky booking stuff going on that don't really make sense. That's why I think they need some kind of like he needs to delegate a little bit more. And then he kind of is the top guy.
I agree with you on that, but let's not pretend that under the direction of the cyborg, that WWF didn't have all of those things. But WWF, they're bulletproof.
Yes.
They don't have to, they can have as many mistakes as they want, and they'll have guys that will lay down their swords to defend them. So, right. None of this stuff matters. The only thing that matters is your perception. It's all that matters.
Well, I agree with you that life isn't fair, but AEW has to be able to play they have to be able to play the hand that they're dealt. And the hand that they're dealt, they don't get to make the mistakes that WWE gets to make because they're the underdog. They have to be better. And us as snobby wrestling fans require them to be better. Mm-hmm. We have a higher standard for what they're about to do if we're going to be giving them more of our time. That is just the nature of the beast. You're the secondary promotion, you have to be better than good. You have to be extraordinarily better than good if you want to get the audience to come your way and stick around. And that's just the problem that they have, and that's just the way it is.
Yep, I agree with that. And I think that you've gotten two some odd years of, and again, I do think it's been better as of late, but last year's terrible. Like last year's AEW shows were not very good. And it just did every week. It did a little bit more to just damage and damage and damage. And now here we are, you're trying to rebuild, and they do have to carry themselves as a higher end product. And sometimes it feels like they're going in that direction. And other times it doesn't. Like I wish, and again, the big problem is there's so many people in that room that are cast offs from Vince.
JD, I have the greatest idea for RD Evans.
Yeah.
Okay. What he should do for AEW this year for their Thanksgiving special. Okay.
I hate you.
He should get with Tony Khan, but hey, Tony, on Thanksgiving this year, we should do a throwback show where we're going to go back to the territory days. We'll call it IPWF, right? And everybody will come in and they'll play 80s type characters and do 80s type matches and 80s type skits. And then we'll throw all the storylines away and every wrestler will be playing a different character. What do you think of that, sir?
RD Evans is everything I hate about professional wrestling. Like him and Jimmy Jacobs and the bullshit that they booked made me just hate covering TNA or Impact on that show. Like, again, why would they hire that guy? He should go work for Scott in the new Maple Leaf promotion. Just get him away from like real wrestling. There's everything he does is just such garbage.
Yeah. So if you guys are wondering why I made that joke, that was based off of something that we had in our chat today. But RD Evans was the mastermind behind IPWF. He has left TNA and now he's in AEW. And I'm like, thank God that we're no longer going to see the Impact Provincial Wrestling, whatever, the throwback throwdown anymore in TNA, because every single year I would have to come on the air and I would just rip that thing to shreds. People have blocked me over that, how much I hated that, and I'm fine with it. Cause they, you know, there are those out there. Every company has them. They will just watch whatever you put out there and then defend it. But I felt like that was indefensible. That was really bad.
You know what's funny is TNA got rid of Jimmy Jacobs and they got rid of R.D. Evans, and all they've managed to do is sell more tickets.
They got rid of Scott D'Amore too.
And Scott D'Amore,
those guys around.
Yeah.
And they got rid of David Sahadi as their program director, right? And like, and now all of a sudden, like, they're in Tampa, Florida. Look, they're not selling 5,000 tickets. They probably got, you know, like 950 in a small venue, but it looks really good. And like, the crowd's lively. It's wild.
They're out of Skyway Studios, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey guys, man, chat, you guys really carried us tonight. I really thank you guys. I know I didn't get to everybody's comments. I really tried. But I was, had a really busy week and really tough week. So I didn't have the best format. So you guys really carried the show. So I greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much. And please, if you want to support the show and you want to become a premium subscriber, head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I'll talk to JD after we go off the air about seeing if we can coordinate an overtime deal. I don't think we're getting to it tonight because I don't have any plans. So, but we'll try to get to something this weekend if at all possible. And then, of course, I'm off of work next week, so I might crank out some more stuff for the Patreon. I actually cranked out a couple articles this week, and I did an overtime that I recorded on Monday. Recap. Not only did I recap SummerSlam, but all of the news that was going around. So I talked, we didn't even get to it tonight because I talked about it on Monday, the Britt Baker scandal that was out there, her being suspended. I actually had all the details about that and what I knew and what I knew a little bit ahead of time that I did not share with you guys previously. So head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow for more on that. I would greatly appreciate it.
We had good jokes too when we talked about that we couldn't talk about at the time.
Bummer. Yes. More on that later. Thanks again, guys. I greatly appreciate you. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Ain't made no waves on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.